Now, talking about Conor McPherson, but let us start with a tune before we meet the great man. There is a very special event. I haven't seen this. The Girl from the North Country. You know the song. You know who's responsible for it, which is clearly Bob Dylan. But it is going to open. It's already won awards at the West End and Broadway. It is opening at the Three Olympia Theatre on the 25th of June. And it's only there for a very short while. It's only there for, I think, 5 nights. 25th of June to the 30th of July. The music and the lyrics clearly by Bob Dylan, but it's written and directed by Conor McPherson, who I haven't seen in a long time. And what frightens me is, as he sits in front of me, is he hasn't changed a bit. Are you on special creams or something to make you... You look the very same. You haven't aged.
I don't know. I suppose it's just... I don't think about very much, so that's probably the trick.
It's the blankness.
The blank, just numbness, just that's keeps me frozen in aspect.
And therefore you don't get any lines.
That's right.
Where the rest of us worry day and night.
You fools.
I know, we're stupid, but we can't help ourselves. Listen, it's lovely to see you again.
Thanks,
man. I was going to say we worked together, but that's a lie. But I did have the great good fortune to be involved with a production you did here years ago.
Yeah.
It was two of the greatest days of my actual life. I'll never forget the phone. I thought it was brilliant when you made a movie called
The Actors.
The Actors.
Yes,
The Actors.
That was good crack. Yeah, we had good fun that day.
That was good fun. When I think about all the things you've done, and you've got awards coming out of your ears and all the rest of it, that was an amazing thing to do as an event. You had Michael Caine, you had Michael Gambon, who I just fell for, you know. Dylan Moran, Deirdre O'Kane was
that's right,
too.
yes.
And I did my best to keep Alison Doody company on the stage. We were supposed to be compares of an event. I think I was in it for 4 seconds, but I've dined out on this for a long time.
Yeah.
But what an amazing cast you got together, Gambon and Caine and stuff. Amazing when I think about it now.
Yeah, that was really cool. It was actually Neil Jordan had that idea for this story.
About, it's his story, isn't it?
Yeah, about some actors who start to try to use their acting ability to swindle people and stuff like that. And then he asked me, would I write the screenplay for him? Then I wrote the screenplay. And then he turned around and says, why don't you direct the film? And I was like, what? So it was, and they sent it off. Michael Caine's going to do it. And, you know, Dylan Moran is so talented, obviously. And Michael Gambon, great hero. And, of course, he used his Dublin accent in it, too.
Cabra, brilliant.
Which was fantastic.
So funny. Yeah, and the wig.
Yeah.
The funny, the dodgy
his
wig.
His wig kept falling off. It was so mad. Yeah.
It was so crazy. But I was there for 2 days to get me 4 seconds on screen. Yeah. It was your mother, I think, suggested, was it?
Well, we've always been big fans of you, Marty, in our house. Right. Yes, indeed. My mum loves you and my dad. So, yes.
That's lovely.
Yes.
Well, is she listening as we speak?
She probably is, because she's at the moment recovering in a little convalescent home up in Swords. She's had a little bit of a spell in hospital, but she's on the mend.
What's her name?
Claire McPherson.
Claire McPherson. And your dad?
Michael.
Claire McPherson. And look, I even brought that to prove. I even have the DVD.
I've
contributed in some way to your fortune, I think.
Yes.
And
in a large way.
And you slightly to mine. Anyway, The Actors, it was great crack, but thank you for that moment. So you talk about the people that you know and the people that you meet as you go through. Here you are now with this Girl from the North Country. Firstly, Bob Dylan, why? Why Bob Dylan?
I got a call from Bob Dylan's management saying, Conor, would you consider using Bob's music in one of your plays or put something together like that?
Out of the blue?
Yes, out of the blue.
And was there a previous connection of some sort?
No, absolutely nothing. So I don't know. Now, Bob has had, over the years, I know he's always been hugely interested in theatre, and he's tried to do theatre stuff in the past to varying degrees of success. In his book Chronicles, he says theatre is the highest art form, and he does love to go to it. And also, he's got a big Irish connection. When he was starting out, when he was like only a kid, he was about 19 or 20, Liam Clancy took Bob under his wing in the East Village in New York and taught him all these folk songs and Irish songs. And I think Bob always had a strong connection to Ireland. And of course, literature. Bob is hugely into literature. And of course, he's won the Nobel Prize for literature. Yes. But he loves poetry. He loves W.B. Yeats. He loves all of that. He also has a connection to U2 and those guys. They hooked him up with their producer, Daniel Lanois, in the 90s to produce a couple of Bob's albums, which are kind of Bob Renaissance classics now. Time Out of Mind is a great album. Yes, and yes. Oh Mercy. Yeah. And so very strong connections to Ireland. So in one way you go, yeah, that's mad. But in another way, if you put it all together, maybe it's not the most nuts thing he's ever done.
Sure.
So,
but he had no connection with you.
No.
Except clearly through a reputation, he knew of you and must have known your work, because otherwise, how would he know to come to you? So therefore, there is that link.
Yeah.
Did you sit with him? Did you talk with him? Did you collaborate with him in real time?
No, I got this call was saying, would you consider using his songs? I said, that just sounds mad. What are you talking about, really? And then I was walking along in Dublin one day and I just had this this image came into my head of a boarding house, like a Eugene O'Neill type play in the 1930s in Minnesota. I'd been to Minnesota a couple of times over the years, and Bob Dylan was from Minnesota. He was born up there. And I had been at the Tyrone Guthrie Theatre in Minneapolis. And both the times I was there, it was the winter. And it was unbelievably cold. It's like nothing we get here, you know, just that...
It's a bleakness, isn't
it? It's a bleak, sort of North Pole kind of coldness. And it always stayed with me. And so I was walking along in Dunleary and I had this idea of, what about, you know, a place that in the winter, in the 1930s in Minnesota, in a boarding house, and there's a family running this boarding house, and the bank are going to foreclose on this, and there's people living in the rooms, so you've got a family living in one room, and you've got a boxer trying to make a comeback in another room, and you've got a Bible salesman in another room who's a bit of a con artist, a bit of a preacher, you've got, you know, there's a girl there who's expecting a baby, the guy running the boarding house is having an affair with somebody, his wife is not well and she's, you know, losing it a little bit. And just around all this, I thought that if you had Bob Dylan songs cloaked in 1930s instrumentation, that it would take it out of his lifetime, have it in a whole different story, and that somehow that would reveal something of the characters that they would use these songs when they would sing them. So I typed up a little email and sent it off, and I got, you know, a message back about 2 days later to say, Bob loves that idea. Do it, he wants you to do it. And they sent me all his albums, like 50 albums arrived at my house from his office.
Good Lord.
And I just started listening to everything.
But have you sat down with him?
No, we've only ever communicated through his management. He's very hands-off. They said very early on, I said, does he want to see what I'm doing, or does he want to see a tape of a rehearsal
or something? Yeah.
They said no, because if Bob feels that if he gets involved and he has ideas, you're going to feel under pressure to use them, because you won't want to, you know, not collaborate.
Yes, yes.
He says it's much better that you just have the freedom, that he just leaves you alone.
So what it is he respects the artist in you, the way you clearly respect him. But that's what he's doing. He's saying, no. I've written the songs and they're there forever in perpetuity. But for you, I respect your ability to write, to direct, whatever it is you're doing involved with his work, and you take it and you do your thing. That's phenomenal freedom for you.
It was total freedom. And he said as well, you can chop and change the songs. You can meld them into each other. You can have one song that suddenly becomes another song. You can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And so when we were putting it together and rehearsing and stuff like that, I would literally have my guitar there, and if there was a song I was listening to the night before, I would say, you know what, let's try this, and just teach the cast the song like really quickly, and we could just try it. So he has like about 500 or 600 songs, so it was just a vast landscape that you could choose from.
Yeah.
And his songs as well, because the lyrics are so subjective. Like, he's a real writer in the way that Van Morrison has those lovely lyrics, and Neil Young has those lovely lyrics, and Bob has those things where it's like they can sort of be sung by anybody and mean something. Like, it's like taking you inside someone's head. Yes, you know, it's not prescriptive. So it feels real.
If you're traveling to the North Country Fair, where the winds blow heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. If you go when the snowflakes storm and the rivers freeze and the summer ends, please see that she's wearing a coat so warm to keep her from the howling winds. I'm wondering if she remembers me at all. Many times I've often prayed in the darkness of my nights, in the brightness of my days. So if you're traveling to the North Country Fair, where the winds blow heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine.
And were you a Bob Dylan fan anyway?
I was, for me, a huge music fan, and from being a very, you know, from a young kid, I'd always loved the Beatles. So I became aware of Bob Dylan very quickly because of that.
Yeah.
And so I had probably, I'd say, half a dozen Bob's albums, like a normal music fan. I didn't have 50 Bob Dylan albums.
No, you didn't.
Right? Yeah. Most people sort of cleave away at about 1980 with Bob Dylan.
Yeah, yeah.
But he,
yeah,
of course, you know, has 30 albums he's recorded since.
Absolutely.
1980, you know, and there's loads of great songs.
For me, one of the best albums he has ever made is the one that came out, Rogue something. It's the one where he has the 15-minute piece on
Rough and Rowdy Ways.
Rough and Rowdy Ways.
Yeah,
thank you. Where he talks about John F. Kennedy's assassination.
It's amazing.
I think it's 18 minutes.
Yes.
It's astonishing.
It's crazy. I know.
And he talks about Flowers, piece on Florida too. It's about a quarter of an hour long.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And lyrics that change. Like, it's really like a book. As a story,
he's stunning. He's absolutely stunning. His mind, yeah. I mean, he's a true original. There's no question.
Yeah.
And like a complete icon. I always think it's a bit like you've got a picture of like Albert Einstein, Marilyn Monroe and Bob Dylan, you know, as icons, John F. Kennedy maybe, icons of the 20th century. He's right there.
Yes, yes.
He's changed culture and he's made his stamp on history just by writing his songs.
Now, listen, Girl from the North Country, do we have a cast at this stage?
I'm casting it now for this new production. So it's on in New York. We've taken a break there because of COVID. It's coming back in April. It's on in Australia at the moment. There's a production down there. And we're putting this new production together here that's going to be playing at the Olympia for 5 weeks. And then it goes on tour. So I'm putting that together now.
When you do it in the Olympia, it goes on tour. Do you tour with it? How do you, the writer's one thing, but you're also directing it. So how do you let it off for someone else to mind, or how does that work?
I have an associate director who keeps an eye on it for me and pops in and out to see it. Right. And the stage management will also keep an eye on it. And then I'll try and see it from time to time and see, I can see a video of it too, see how it's going.
Yeah, of course, I was going to say, send your notes.
Send me notes.
Which would be inevitable. But that's, how exciting is that it's done such great business? That the idea came from this simple phone call. Mm. And, you know, you've won a couple of Olivias. And this is a very important piece of work for you in terms of your career.
And entirely unexpected, as you say.
Yeah.
You know, it like came out of nowhere. I couldn't have predicted it at all.
Yeah.
You know.
Because I remember I Went Down, for example, which was Brendan Gleeson back in the day, which was your work. Mm-hmm. And so people know your work and know what you do. But what I love about this is someone said, there's an idea. would you go off now and see what you think of that? Or what do you think of that?
Yeah.
And then you just create it. I love the I haven't seen this play, so I'm excited about the prospect of it.
Yeah.
And the idea of seeing it and hearing these songs coming and going. Have you a favourite Dylan song? Have you a song that it's you?
Well,
of them all.
Well, I became...
Apart from Girl from the North Country.
Yeah, it's a great song. But I became really surprised, and I loved... There's an aspect of his career that everybody sort of shies away from, which is his born again Christian phase, right? The late 70s into
the early 80s. That's right.
That stuff is brilliant.
It's never played.
Right? It's brilliant. And we use, I'd say, about 5 songs out of there.
Right.
And like, for example, there's a song on our New York a soundtrack recording called Pressing On, which is from Bob Dylan's album called Saved, which is like a total born again Christian album.
Yeah.
Incredible song. And that's become like a gospel standard in, like, you know, the black gospel Pentecostal churches in America. You know, he's so, like, this, you know, Jewish guy from, you know, the back of beyond, you know, has written songs which are, you know, folk standards, country standards, rock standards, gospel standards, you know, it's insane.
That's right. But that would be one of your favourites.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
There's loads, and again from around that time, from his album Street Legal, there's a song called True Love Tends to Forget. I mean, like, nobody even knows these songs, and they're like standards.
I remember there was a movie Michael Douglas made. He was a college professor, and they used a number of Bob Dylan songs. Funnily enough, they also used Van Morrison, and I think Neil Young. Isn't that funny? You should mention those three.
Right.
But there's a great Bob Dylan song called Things Have Changed.
It's,
you know,
fabulous.
And it just kind of comes.
He won an Oscar for that, actually.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the movie. Isn't it
Wonder Boys?
Wonder Boys.
Yeah.
It's an odd film, but Michael Douglas is wonderful in it.
That's great. Yeah, it's a great little movie.
And again,
fantastic.
Using that Dylan song. And of course, Bob has sold all the rights now to the songs.
He sold all his rights. He's cleared up his business. Yeah.
Four generations, I think, down the line will live well because of what he's said.
It's amazing, But he has so many great songs, like I Want You is such a classic song. I mean, look, there's just almost too many.
Positively 4th Street. I know Hurricane is in this.
Yeah.
In the poster, it's clear there's an African-American element to this. Uh-huh. Will there be here as well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
The story very much has that element because what you have is the family... who run this boarding house, there was a girl, a little baby left in a bag who they've brought up, and she's black and they're white. And in Minnesota at that time, that was just simply not done. So they sort of just pretend that she works there, but she's their daughter, but they can't, her dad can never quite acknowledge her, and he's trying to sort her out, and he's trying to get her married to this older guy, and she thinks it's a terrible idea, you know, so there's all that going on.
It's very... It sounds very atmospheric, very much. Like, you know, there'll be tension and obviously drama, but it sounds very atmospheric. I'm dying to see this. I can't understand how we didn't get to see it up to now.
Well, we opened it first in London, and then...
That is about 3-4 years ago.
We did it first in 2017, and then I did it in New York, and then it came to Broadway. Then COVID, of course, has taken 2 years out of our existence. So now we're getting back to
business.
Getting
back. Yeah. And the tour starts... It starts in Olympia for the 5 weeks from the 25th of June, but it's going right across the UK.
Yeah.
That, I've no doubt that's going to be really successful. You're playing a great place, the Lowry in Salford.
That's a great place.
Isn't it a beautiful place? That's all in September, but don't be worrying about that, lads. It's the Olympia we want to talk about. It's a joy. I'm so delighted to see you again. I really am.
Thanks, Martin.
And thank you for that great moment. I'm still available. I'm probably around the same price.
Fantastic.
That's
good to know.
Yeah, it's good to know. Always available and reasonable. Keenly priced, I think, is the phrase we use.
Yeah. And you put me on the spot now, so okay. We'll have you. Thanks.
We have you pushing a cart somewhere. Listen, keep the faith, Conor, and thank you so much for joining. It's a real pleasure. Conor McPherson, we got to play some more Bob Dylan. Why wouldn't we? In fact, we'll finish with Bob. And what was that song again you mentioned?
Pressing On.
Here it is.
Yes, I'm pressing on. But I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Yes, pressing on. Stop me, shake me up in my mind. Say, prove to me that he's Lord. Show me a sign. What kind of sign they need when it all comes from within? When what's lost has been found, what's to come is already been. I just keep pressing on.
Pressing On, music from Bob Dylan, thanks to Conor McPherson, and a fine fellow indeed.